Are you part of the true conservative crowd? Well, if so, you're under fire today. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
In a very real sense, conservatism, whether biblical or political, is under fire today because it is said that a belief system based on conservative ideas often serves to benefit only one group. Can you guess what that group is? Heterosexual, able-bodied Christians, and mainly male at that. You know, that belief, in my opinion, is faulty at best, but that does not stop those opposed to conservative values from continuing the attack. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know, and I thank you so much for joining me today. You know, on many fronts, the notion that conservatism can be or is a good thing is highly debated by many, especially from the politically correct left, enough so that there is a felt need to continue to malign and castigate those within the community of conservatives. Ultimately, the feeling is that it should be overturned, conservatism, and replaced with something else entirely, since it's also believed that those within the conservative camp fall woefully short of creating true equality and freedom within society. So we've got to get rid of it. We've got to overturn it. We've got to replace it with something else. Now, of course, what people say and believe is one thing. What they can prove is another altogether. And we saw shades of this with our last chapter, and we discussed this from the last chapter of the book that I've been referring to throughout this series called Falling Away, and that's based on critical race theory. Truth really does not seem to matter to the politically correct. It really doesn't matter. What they're all about is simply destroying biblical, traditional values at any cost. And the only thing that matters is if it sounds like it could be true and whether or not it fits their unspoken agenda. I was reading an article by Dr. Michael Bowman, and it's called Begin Here, Civility or Equality. And it struck a nerve, largely because the things he discusses resonate within me as I see how they impact society today. Now, obviously, the idea of a civilization is based on people being civil to one another. His thesis statement is that sound political theology is the best way to bring about that idea throughout all society. But of course, we have in society anything but sound political theology, in my opinion. It's more like open season on anything that even smacks of true conservatism, because conservatism should be disallowed. The rhetoric from those opposed to conservatism is heated, often libelous, and too often absolutely absurd, though they refuse to see it that way, or certainly won't admit it. Even when it's clear that they're making statements which are patently false or even irrelevant, yet the vehemence with which they address the issue of conservatism is done for one reason. It's done to polarize those who firmly believe that conservatism best represents the actual biblical revelation from God, as well as the attendant mandate for society. And that's very interesting. Very important to understand. Bowman notes several things about what he refers to as sound political theology. Let me quote from him. He says, quote, "Sound political theology is the means by which we can identify the insights of revelation and apply them prudently to the political order. Sound political theology is the wisdom and moral imagination that springs from revelation properly understood and wisely applied. Sound political theology is the theologically and historically informed prudence necessary to preserve the best of the past for ourselves and for our posterity in light of what God has done and said. Sadly, even tragically, political theology of this high order is as rare as it is necessary, unquote. Now, that makes a whole lot of sense. Sound political theology, as referenced by Bowman, is fast becoming outmoded. It's being forced to the side by the politically correct militants of our day, who desperately feel the need to throw off the fetters, the chains, that remind us of God's authority over His creation. And the desire of today is to replace, redefine, and renege. But like many things emanating from the politically correct arena, the premise of many within those groups that purpose to accomplish this, in my opinion, is flawed. That premise starts with something that has nothing to do with God's absolute truth, and everything to do with the thorny relativism that impinges and contorts reality into something that is not even discernible, yet claims to be the actual and informed meaning of God's truth. In short, it sets out to produce what by God's standards is a very poor shadow of His absolute truth, a very poor shadow indeed. Yet in reality, this is the best that Satan can come up with. What could possibly be better than God's absolutes for a people or a nation, or for the world, and all of God's creation for that matter? Now, Bowman speaks of the fact that many in society chase after and even demand equality and freedom, when they should instead be pursuing justice, since both equality and freedom are to him antithetical. The more we pursue equality and or freedom, the less justice there is in the world. Because for each person, there is a new definition of freedom for them. This ever-changing definition of freedom, and even equality, creates injustice for someone else. And when someone desires more freedom, as Bowman notes, the first rational question to ask is, freedom to do what? There's no definitive notion of freedom that works for everyone. It is not a one-size-fits-all commodity. Therefore, he notes further that, quote, unlike equality and freedom, justice is not an impracticable, metaphysical abstraction. Justice is getting what you deserve. The pursuit and preservation of justice maintains the order of soul and of society necessary for human flourishing. And he continues by saying, to the requirements of justice, we are all born subject. No contrivance, political or otherwise, can or should extricate us from its obligations, which come from God Himself. To reject these obligations is to tear apart the fabric, both of soul and of society. No person, no polity, can long endure, much less prosper, outside the obligations of justice. Now, when contemplated, the facts inherent within the above statements speak for themselves, I think. Unfortunately, the opposite is what is happening within American society today, because of the dereliction of duty by our elected officials, who have sworn to uphold the rule of law based on the Constitution in America. But they fail to follow through on that promise, as well as the fallacies instilled in America from those within the politically correct arena that are given too much sway in society. You know, we cannot at the same time allow those opposed to God's morality and absolute truth to hold their position of power in society while believing that their understanding of truth is as good as any, since it's clear that they reject God's absolutes in favor of their own thorny relativism. These forces are at odds, and there's no way to marry them. The choice then becomes which one to follow. Bowman speaks of the metaphysical aspects of equality and freedom, and how emphasis on these areas confuses the difference between the absolutes of God's revelation with what he calls the sloganeering of those opposed to them. Now, of course, the politically correct love to create slogans, don't they? And labels that they can quickly attach to anyone who opposes them. This is done to shut down dialogue and debate, because those within the politically correct arena or circles cannot muster the strength or intellect to adequately respond to the facts of the matter. It's far easier and more beneficial that they do what they can to immediately squelch discussion. For them, sloganeering is one of the primary ways for this to be accomplished. Now imagine attempting to discuss your concerns with one of the keynote speakers from a previous episode when I discussed Create Wisconsin. Imagine how quickly you would be called a racist or something else, depending upon your race, if you dared question the motives, the rationale, or the facts surrounding what these individuals believe and propose regarding critical race theory. If you watch the video that I mentioned before, you saw how the superintendent of public school instruction of Wisconsin was really unable to answer the question posed by the interviewer. He did what he could to misdirect and to foist blame back on the individual asking the question. This is the game, as far as they are concerned. And it has to do with kowtowing to a group. Whether or not facts support the direction the group is moving in, doesn't matter. Because of political correctness, ideas are often deemed correct in spite of a lack of factual support for those ideas, especially when it has to do with things like white privilege. Bowman notes, again, quote, "In short, we must not begin with metaphysical abstractions, no matter how desirable we think they are. We begin with revelation and with the world as it is in all its incalculable complexity, a complexity that mocks the facile imposition of abstractions and easy recourse to metaphysical sloganeering. Sloganeers are fools, as are those who vote for them. Justice, for those requiring a reminder, is not an abstraction, but a moral, social, and judicial obligation placed upon us by God. As much as we can do so, we are obligated to give folks what they deserve." Unquote. Now that was from Bowman again. And you know, the reality is absolutely true there. We need to give folks what they deserve. I've met too many sloganeers, and I'm sure you have as well. They believe, for all their pontificating, labeling, huffing and puffing, that they make great strides in society, helping to push civilization to the next higher level. Unfortunately, they really do nothing of the kind, but in fact simply help the downward spiral within culture to advance that much more quickly. Taking one person as an example, you remember this? Change is coming. Change is coming. We all heard it, and everybody applied their own meaning to it. Looking back, we now know what change is coming means. It's a redistribution of wealth, among other things. And so a sloganeer is something that people can get behind. But often they don't know what it means. And that's the tragedy, because they're low information people who don't really put a lot of thought into meaning. And that's political correctness. That's what it does. That's what it creates. Well, I thank you so much for joining me. And I hope you'll join me again next time. And until then, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.